Airtight Game Show is brought to you by AirtightGame.com. The battle of the sexes is being waged right now and you're on the front lines. Airtight Game has a full schedule of programs to help you hone your battle prowess. The next Airtight Game Boot Camp will be January 6th, 7th, and 8th in New York City. So ready your guns, gentlemen, and we'll see you there.
Hey guys, and welcome to the third episode of the Airtight Game Show. I'm your host, Josh Maverick from AirtightGame.com, and I'm joined with my co-host, E-Rock from the Long Island Lair.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And Big Win from the Techno Students Group.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
And in today's show, it's going to be an all-cast show, which means we're basically going to talk about our last week, the crazy experiences that we've had, the pulls we've had, the lessons we've learned, and we're going to share that all with you today. So, getting us started, last week we had an interview with Nick Rogue, and that interview went amazing. And I know that I applied some of the principles from Nick's interview, and I actually ended up having some success off that, which is great. And I know some of these other guys went out and had some successes too. So to basically touch upon that, I'd like to bring up Iraq here and talk about basically what experiences he's had in the last week. Iraq?
Yeah, so I guess one of the biggest lessons from this week for me was about just really back to basics kind of thing, like just not being warmed up enough, how much it shows through. And that's something that I found myself. So even as far as I could feel myself, if you've ever feel what not being warmed up feels like, you just maybe shift your weight around a little bit in the set. I think all about you guys know what I'm talking about there. Just kind of come off like you're not ready really for this, to really present yourself as confidently as you possibly can. So I think the other thing about that is I like to warm up in maybe ways that are unusual to some of the guys out there. And I think that goes to some guys feel like when they do this stuff, they have to only stick to these pre-written sort of predetermined things that they could only do this, they could only say that, and that's how you have to do it. But for me, I like to kind of, I guess, let my sense of humor shine through on some of my warm-ups. I'll just go to, for example, this week I went to girls on the coat check line and just told them that when they were waiting to retrieve their coats, and just said, hey guys, I just want to let you know all the coats have been sold. They just got in trouble for selling all the coats out back out of a van for $1. So just forget it. So, yeah, and the thing about something like that is, sometimes they won't get it. They'll just stand there confused and think I'm serious, I suppose. And if they do actually get it and they can play along, I'll actually turn it into a real set, because that's something that I like. That's a trait that I like in women, that they can play along with something like that, because a lot of them can't. But that's how I like to warm up. I like to warm up like that. There's guys out there that do these pre-written warm-ups that they don't really feel are congruent with them, but they feel they have to do it for whatever reason. So that's what I like to do. But anyway, not warming up and not getting warmed up enough really showed through for me this week. Getting away from doing the three. I like to normally do three warm-ups, which is not just warming up, not really trying to game or trying to do anything like that. Just saying hello to people, talking like that, and that's what works for me. For whatever reason, I got away from that this week, and that's something that showed through in sets.
So were you trying to just, so you said you got away from that this week, were you trying to just go straight into your quote-unquote regular sets then, and is that what sort of tripped you up?
Yeah, I feel that's what I feel like, because for me, I really like just direct. So I like it's openers, especially openers, just totally very direct with intent, as a lot of people like to call it. So that's how I do things. So I guess going straight into that, for whatever reason I did, I could really use more of a warm-up, maybe more than most. I like to warm up normally, like I said, so not doing that really showed through. And I could feel myself while I was in the set sort of shifting my body weight. Like, I knew I wasn't coming across as confidently as I could and as I normally do. So that's something I noticed as it was happening.
Yeah, that's always pretty awkward to notice while it's happening. I remember in a somewhat different context, so I do Toastmasters, which is public speaking in front of 30, 40, 50 professionals every week. And I was giving a speech about 2 months ago, and I was like, as I was giving the speech in front of all these people, I was like bobbing back and forth, like shifting my weight, and I was like, I was very conscious of it while I was speaking on like another level. I was like, holy crap, I'm totally shifting my weight. This is so embarrassing. And I actually straightened out, and I think that happens a lot in set, actually, because there's so many things going on in set, but it's almost like this zen-like, it can be this like zen-like experience where you're like aware of all this other stuff while you're talking or while you're keynoting or while you're moving. That's how I felt. And when that sort of clicks through, either now or in the near future, then I find like it just makes your game better because it just expands your awareness. Whereas in the beginning, you're just focused on like, you know, you have a million thoughts racing through your head. And then after that, it's sort of this calm, sort of flowing type thing. I don't know if, I'm sure that some of our listeners have experienced that. And I don't know if you have, or any of them, you know, if you have E-Rock or Big Win, but that's something that I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean on that, and it's great. It's something that, as I've gone along this journey, I can feel things sort of slow down in my mind, where it's, when you first started, things are kind of happening so fast, you're just trying to remember what you're supposed to do, and it kind of goes by, but I can notice it more now. It's slowed down. I can notice where I may be going wrong, if I am, so, which is also, of course, a chance for you to correct it and notice those things if you have the time before the set ends, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, so that slowing down is sort of like one next level of sort of the pickup mystique, I guess you could call it. And then, like, you know, things just could, then like the next level after that is like things just get even slower, where it's like almost like slow motion in your mind, where you can just like start seeing stuff. And then like the next level is you start seeing all these like social connections out there in the field or in real life that you would have been oblivious to beforehand. And then I think like even after that, and this is something that like I'm really enjoying right now, and only recently, which is surprising for the fact I've been in this game for years, I've been teaching for years, is this sort of, I'm going to use the word zen again, almost zen-like ability to look at everything like a gift in the social environment and look at everything as like a resource. And so now, when I go out, I look at everything as an opportunity to pull. Like, even stuff that's quote-unquote bad, like an AMOG, or like her friends, bunch of friends are dancing around her or something. I look at everything as like a gift, like, wow, the universe is actually, like, the universe wants me to get laid. The universe is giving me all these tools to get laid. And so it's like a present, but kind of wrapped up in a weird package, because it doesn't seem like a present at first. But once you know how to, like, sort of really put your hands in there and get nitty-gritty with it, it really everything just becomes an opportunity. And I think that's something that's like the seducer's mind frame. That's something I've always been attracted to, is this man who is being this man who walks through the world and can just make reality just bend to his will and just do whatever the fuck he wants. Like, that's attractive to me.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. I like that. That's actually something my first wing, who's now a little bit out of the community, my first wing and I would always say to each other when we met some kind of resistance or some kind of even really, really harsh resistance, really harsh blowouts. I'm sure everybody knows what I mean on that. It's like he would come back to me and I would say, Wow, that's really nice of her. I guess she wanted you to have experience dealing with this kind of resistance. So that's really, I was like, really great that she did that, you know what I mean? And it would, that kind of thing would just, that's something that, things are kind of neutral, I feel. You can't really know what everything's about, so you might as well look at it positively and productively, because why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I have these, almost, I'll just say, like, delusional belief systems that, like, you know, like, I believe that every woman I talk to is attracted to me. I believe that everybody likes me, and I always get good reactions from everybody that I talk to. And that is, like, prima facie not true. And but you have to look at the alternative, which is that every woman I talk to hates me. No one likes me, and I get poor reactions from everyone I talk to. Now, if you're going to have a delusional belief, why not have the delusional belief that actually gives you success in your dating and relationships, gives you success in your life and your work? And so for me, I accept and internalize these sometimes overly positive belief systems, and I understand on a deeper level that, you know, not exactly true necessarily, but they enable me to engage with the world in a way that's better than any other alternative. And to that end, I mean, they are my truth.
Yeah, and I would even, on some of these things, I would even challenge the fact that it's on a deeper level not true. That's a different conversation that really goes beyond, but that's, you never know. It's just, looking at it that way is really, really the best, most productive way, I feel, also.
The whole interaction, you know, when I was going out a lot, I would eventually start to see the, I hate to use this reference, the matrix of everything that's going on. I would be standing there and just watching people talk, and I would get into this thought process of, this is what's going to happen next. Like, I already see what's going to happen before it happens. Kind of like, clairvoyance, I guess. And, you know, once you start doing this stuff a lot, you will see that, like, no problem. It just comes to you naturally. And it's just developing those skills, you know, seeing people's body language, the way that they talk to each other, et cetera. And you'll pretty much pick all that up in time. And it's really cool to watch it, because then I get the girls in on it. I'm like, watch this. I'm like, this guy's going to try and hit on this girl. And he, sure enough, he walks over there and he starts doing it. And she's like, shut up. How'd you know that? I'm like, because I can see it. Like, I see how this is going to work. And she's going to likely play with him and maybe get him to buy her a drink and whatnot. And then she's going to shoot him down at the end of the night, and he's going to go home and use his own tears as lubrication while he masturbates, you know? And she usually laughs, and it's funny. E-Rock, did you use any of Nick's stuff while you were out?
Yeah, I did. I like the screening for her logistics, which he talked about. Really good stuff. So that's really, I feel like guys get away, don't really realize the usefulness of that. They kind of just kind of plow ahead in the set and don't. Something he stressed was early in the set, screening for her logistics, so you don't waste time if your goal is an SNL tonight. So that's really good stuff that I guess I knew, but just really him emphasizing it and going into that specifically was really great.
Yeah, definitely saves you in the long run, anybody that's listening. You know, it's those first, like, probably 5 to 10 minutes, you know, you can spend with the girl and figure out what her deal is. And from that, you just can move on from there. You know, get her number and, you know, maybe she has to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and it's already, you know, 10 at night. She's probably thinking about going home pretty soon. So you can at least get her number and call her later or call her the next day, something along those lines, if you feel you have a good rapport with her, something along those lines. But there's also another flip side to that. If you get the logistics, you know, you have to get through her 5 objections she's going to have with sleeping with you on the same night, which I don't know if I should give those out, but
Yeah, why don't you talk about those? Because I'm not exactly, I probably know them, but I don't know them in the conceptualization that you've just offered. So why don't you go over them? We can talk about them.
Okay. Well, the first one is if she sleeps with you too quickly, she could get an STD. You know, she doesn't know you, or she could get pregnant, I guess would be the number two. So they kind of go hand in hand. But, you know, you have to convey certain things to her throughout the conversation that it's going to inoculate her against these five objections she'll have. The other one is, if she sleeps with you too quickly, you might be a stalker, and she doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. So you have to show the willingness to emote. You know, you have the right emotions at the right times, and, you know, et cetera on that. The other one is if she sleeps with you too quickly, there might not be a chance for a relationship. So if she really, really, really likes you, she might not want to sleep with you because she really wants this to last. But if you're doing the same night lay stuff correctly, you can knock that one right out of the park because she'll know. She won't know, but she will know in her mind that, you know, this guy is good and I really want to sleep with him. But I don't really want to make him my boyfriend type deal, I guess. It's the best way to describe it. Also, the last one, unless you do the three-dimensional escalation like Nick talks about in last week's episode, you know, her social circle might think of her as, you know, a slut or a whore or whatever you want to call her for sleeping with you too quickly. So you got to kind of pull her away. So there's the plausible deniability of, yeah, I went home with him, but I didn't do anything with him aspect that kind of goes along with those. So the five logistical ones, you know, you figure those out. But then from there, you need to hit on her five objections that she's going to have. And you can do, you know, demonstrations. You can do storytelling, just stuff like that to kind of inoculate her.
Gotcha. And I want to speak to one of the points that you have, because I actually, this has come up once or twice in the recent past for me, which is things that look like they're going down a same night lay roadmap, and then the girl will not want to sleep with me, and I'm presuming the reasons here, but I'm pretty sure I'm accurate with them. She not wants to sleep with me because I am too awesome, and she wants to, like, see me in the future and stuff like that. I've actually had that a couple times, and I'm just like, man, like, I don't know if you know, running quote unquote like too much comfort or like too much, I don't even know, like storytelling, or I don't really get that right now because I've always been such an overtly sexual person, but now I've been talking about a lot of my personal beliefs and experiences and set, and girls just like really just melt for that, and it gets me massive attraction and compliance and all this kind of stuff, and very, very easily will lead to, you know, a set that's really going places. But, and I've had this happen once where the girl, you know, just doesn't want to go for it. So I don't know if maybe I'm not, maybe if I'm just like a sexual frame away from that, maybe something along the lines of, you know what I like about you, when you have a connection with somebody, you don't hesitate getting physical with them. Maybe I'm just a frame away, but I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what's happening there. So you have any thoughts on that, Big One?
I would say that, honestly, like Nick was telling us last week, if you lay down two sexual frames, she will fall into it, and you have to support it. So when you tell her, you know, it's okay, I don't judge, you know, shh, it's okay, you have to not only say it, but you have to convey it. Now, I'm going to give you an example that I used on Monday when I went out. I met this girl online. I'll kind of skip through most of it, but we were sitting there. We were sitting at a restaurant, like a bar type deal. It's above an ice rink that's near my house that we just went ice skating. And these two guys are sitting over kind of off in the corner, and they're playing a card game. Now, they're not playing Magic, the Gathering, but they're playing some card game, and I have no idea what it was called. And I'm sitting there with her, and she kind of looks over, and she goes, "That guy's hands are really tiny." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" She's like, "His hands are so tiny." She's like, "Let me see your hands." And I had been keynoting her a ton already. So I put my hand up, and she's like, "You have very large hands." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. You know, I grew them myself." And, you know, she got a laugh out of that. And so I'm like, looking over. She's like, "What are those guys playing?" She's like, "Those are such nerdy guys over there. Like, you know, they obviously don't get sex that much." And I was like, "Well, you know, how do you know that?" She's like, "Well, obviously they're just playing that card game." And I was like, "Look, I don't judge people, but, I mean, you can't make that assumption just because they're playing a board game or whatever it is." And she's like, "Huh." So I walked over there, and I was like, "Hey, guys, you know," I just started talking to them. She's like, no, don't go over there, I was like, "No, it's fine." I was like, "I'll just go ask them what they're playing, because I'm kind of curious." So, you know, I said, "I don't judge." I went over there. I started talking to these guys. I don't even know. And they were really cool to me, and they were really nice. And she's like, "I can't believe you just did that." And I was like, "Look, it's not wrong of me to go over there and wonder what they're doing." She's like, "No, but, you know, I feel kind of bad now that you went over there and did that, because I was just making fun of them." And I was like, "Look, it's okay. Like, you know, some people, they just don't know." So that was kind of an example of "I don't judge." And then I reasserted that frame of me going over there, talking to them, you know, figuring out what they're doing. And I came back, and she was like, I could see her dynamic of her being like, "Wow, this guy's really cool. I can't believe he just did that." And I didn't mean to make her feel bad, but she was like, "Wow, I kind of feel bad now." But I was like, "It's okay. You know, some people just don't get it sometimes."
I like that example a lot, actually, because it's not only just saying something, but it's actually demonstrating it to her, which is very powerful.
Right. And so that's what I was talking about when you know, you can verbalize it or you can visualize it when you're knocking out her objections and, you know, setting frames and stuff like that. You have to show it. You can't just say it, because I can talk to her, but she might not be paying attention to what I'm saying, you know. And so if she doesn't catch what I'm doing or saying, you know, it doesn't really sink in as much.
Gotcha. Well, that's an amazing nugget of advice, and I know that everyone will appreciate it. That being said, that's not my issue. So you said there was a second thing. I definitely hammered the non-judgment, and I knocked that one out of the park. I know I did, because in fact, she actually brought it up in conversation afterwards back at her place, and she's like, "Yeah, that's really cool about you." So I was like, "Okay, cool." It wasn't that. So, do you think it could be, like, based in sexual frames?
It could be. You have to, setting the frames and getting her to believe in them, you know, setting it up like, you know, "You have such a good girl face. I'm sitting here talking to you, but I swear to God, you have, like, a naughty side that you just really want to let go." And she might say, like, "No, I'm a good girl." And then you reinforce it with, "It's okay, you know, I don't kiss and tell." You know, being discreet is another huge thing if you're going for the same night stuff. Because they don't want it to get out that you're going to go blab to your friends, like, "Oh, I just totally just railed this chick, you know, she had no idea," and yada yada. You know, she doesn't want her personal ego to get hurt, especially if you know her friends and stuff like that. You got to be kind of careful asserting the sexual frames. It's, you know, you do at least two of them, and she will fall into that. She will submit to them, because she'll start to think about it like, "Well, yeah, I am kind of like that." But there's also, I mean, there's so much more to the dynamic. You know, it's doing the 3D escalation. It's setting the sexual frames. It's knocking out the logistics. It's knocking out her five objectives. You know, if you can manage to do all that in the interaction, I mean, you're golden. There's only, like, maybe a couple more things you need to do.
I guess I must have missed the mark with the fourth objection, which is, if I sleep with this guy, then I won't have the potential to see him outside. Because she was like, "Yeah," she's like, "I want to hang out with you." She's like, "I want to," like, she said something along the lines of, like, "Go to, like, dinner a couple times." And I was like, "Ugh." I was like, "Seriously?"
So, meal with you?
Like, I don't mind taking a chick out to eat, like, and hanging out or watching a movie or shooting some pool. Like, those are all fun stuff to do. And in fact, I'm going to be doing that tonight with a different girl. But yeah, I hate that frame. I hate that frame in the context of the same night lay stuff. So I probably didn't do a very good job of breaking that frame and reframing that. And yeah, and probably, and this is going to go back to my old theory, probably the amount of comfort and or stories, even DHV stories, that I said probably too much or came off as too awesome. Maybe there needs to be more vulnerability there, or maybe just more qualification on her end or more investment.
To knock out some of her objections, I tell a story about how I got raped, pretty much. And I put kind of a funny spin on it, because what guy do you ever hear about getting raped? You don't, really. So I tell her about this time I was at this, you know, I'll kind of put her in the scenario, and this is a really good way to Kino. I tell her, one night I was at the bar with my friends, and there was a girl sitting next to me. She was friends with somebody in the group. I'd never met her before. And, you know, I'm talking to the group, so I pull her next to my girl, you know, that I'm sitting there with telling the story to. I'll pull her next to me, and I'll be like, okay, so we're sitting at this round table, and everybody's, like, looking at me because I'm telling the story. And so that kind of conveys, you know, I'm kind of the leader of the group. And I'll start to tell her, you know, the girl sitting next to me, her name was, well, I won't tell her real name. I'll just use a different one. We'll call her Molly.
Sally.
Sally?
Yeah, Sally.
So Sally's sitting next to me, and I'm talking to everybody, and she reaches on her back to scratch her back, but she keeps reaching around. You know how, like, you can't reach it sometimes? So I politely say, here, let me help you out with that. So I'm talking to the group, and I'm, like, scratching her back at the same time, and, you know, everybody likes a good back scratching or a back rub, so she's just, like, all of a sudden, like, putty in my hands. And I keep doing it for a while, and then eventually I just turn it into kind of rubbing just with my one hand, and it's still going, and I'm still talking to the group as I'm telling the story. And the next thing I know, Sally has got her head, like, leaning on my shoulder, and she's like, if you keep doing that, she's like, I'm going to fall asleep. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, sometimes I get away with, you know, I forget I'm doing it. And so I just stop. And I had to work in the morning, so I go, hey, guys, I got to leave. So I get up, and I say goodbye. I didn't get her number or anything like that. I really wasn't attracted to her, I guess. She was really cute, but I wasn't in the mood. So I leave, and I'm driving down the road. All of a sudden, my cell phone rings. And I didn't recognize the number, but the prefix was, you know, a Nextel number back when those were still popular. And so I didn't answer it. I went to voicemail. Again, it calls me again. I'm like, all right, whoever's calling me obviously knows this is my number because they got my voicemail. So I answer it, and I go, hey. And I was like, who's this? She's like, it's Sally. I'm like, Sally? Like, I didn't even get this girl's name. And she's like, yeah, you were just rubbing my back at the bar. And I'm like, oh, hey. And she's like, guess where I am? I'm like, I don't know. I literally pulled my phone away from my head, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I didn't give out my number to anybody. And so I think she got it from one of my friend's cell phones. And she says, look in your rear view. And I'm like, what the fuck? I look in my rear view, and she is driving. That's me right behind you. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm not saying this to her, but I'm just like, are you fucking serious? She's like, I don't want to drive all the way out to my house. It's like a 45-minute drive. She's like, is it okay if I stay at your place? And I was like, I guess. You know, I just live down the street here. I was like, I got to work in the morning, though, so you're going to have to leave pretty early. She's like, oh, yeah, that's totally fine. I'm like, all right. So she comes over. You know, nobody was at my house, and I just kind of pull in, and I'm sitting there, and she pulls in behind me, and, you know, we go inside. I get her some pillows and blanket. I was like, you can sleep on the couch here, or you can take my bed upstairs. I got a king size, you know, and I'll sleep on the couch. She's like, no, the couch is fine, the couch is fine. I was like, all right, cool, well, have a good night, and, you know, I'll wake you up tomorrow morning. So I go upstairs, and I'm pretty drunk at this point, but I close my door. Now, I have a lock on my door, and I didn't lock it, and I still kick myself to this day for not doing it, but she literally, I could have counted to like 10, and she just comes up. I'm like passing out in my bed. She comes into my bedroom. She climbs into my bed, and she just kind of lays there for a minute, and then it happens. She rolls over. She puts her arm across my chest. She puts her head up next to my neck. I'm like trying to fall asleep, and she just starts kissing me, and I'm just like lying there. You know, I tell the story. I'm trying to get as much detail out of the story as I can, but she keeps going, you know, she starts pulling my shirt off, and I'm, like, falling asleep. I'm, like, drunk, passed out, like, you know, just getting molested here. And so I kind of shortened the story for the girl. I'm trying to give you guys the gist of it, but she pulls my pants off. She starts, you know, going to town on me, and, you know, luckily I woke up. And I put a condom, I, like, leaned over and grabbed a condom because I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's just do this. And, you know, I put that on, and, you know, we had sex and whatnot. And then, you know, the next morning I wake up and she's wearing, like, my clothes because she didn't want to wear the same clothes she had at the bar last night. So I was like, all right, well, you know, just returning me a little later. She never did. She stole them. And then she keeps calling me, like, every 2 seconds. And I'm like, look, dude, this is not what I wanted. Like, and she's, like, blowing me up. She, like, came over to my house a couple times. But the way I tell the story is I'm conveying that, you know, I was drunk and passed out, but I still woke up and I still used protection. And I just kind of downplay it, but I still throw it in there just so they know that I'm smart enough to do that. And I always have, you know, in my truck right now, I probably have, like, 10 or 12 condoms just, like, in a box somewhere. You know, I always have them with me in my backpack. I probably have at least 2 or 3. You could shake out my jeans or my coat and probably find at least 1 or 2. And, you know, I tell that story. And while I'm telling the story to the girl, I'm, like, rubbing her back because I'm showing her, you know, this is what I was doing. And they love it and they feel it. You know, and they kind of go through, well, I'm not a stalker. You know, they start qualifying themselves. They're like, well, I'm not a stalker. I don't do that stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah? It's like, what do you call it? Just intensive research? And they start laughing. I'm like, are you going to kidnap me? Or are you going to call it, like, a surprise adoption? You know, they start, like, you know, I just start teasing them a little bit. And it really works out in the long run. Because, you know, you inoculate against that. You put the spin on them, like, they're the stalker. You know, so kind of, they kind of backwards rationalize, well, he's telling me that I'm going to be the one stalking him, so he must be higher value, stuff like that, if he's got these girls, you know, constantly wanting to be with him. I think that's probably one of the most powerful stories that I tell, though I don't tell it all the time, and I have a much shorter version of it. I just figured I'd give you guys the kind of longer version, but that's kind of what I do. So to inoculate against her, you know, STD, getting pregnant, stalker stuff. You know, you got to convey that you use protection, that you are emotionally sane and stuff like that, which, I mean, hopefully most of you guys out there are. I know I've met a few people that aren't, but for the most part, if you can knock out those 5 objections and get the logistics, move around the bar once or twice, you should be pretty golden. There's only a couple other things, like I said, that you might need to do to maybe push her over the edge. Now, the girl that I went out with on Monday, we were making out at the bar. Well, sorry, I should take that back. We weren't making out at the bar. We did it in the parking lot. I kept telling her, like, you need to stop being so goddamn cute right now because I just want to throw you up against the wall and just have my way with you, bend you over this table, and all these people are going to see, but I'm a gentleman, and I don't do that in public. You know, that's showing discretion. And she's just, like, giving me these big wide eyes, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you want to do that to me right now. And we started, you know, doing a little cutesy touching left and right, keeping my hand there a little longer than normal. And eventually we went outside. Now, it snowed the other day, so I let my truck warm up a little bit. She's got a Lexus, so we sat in there, and it got hot really quickly. And, you know, we're making out in the parking lot, finally, and we're just sitting in the car. And I decided to go outside my comfort zone, which I hope a lot of you guys are doing that because you really need to, and you just got to assert yourself. I took her hand, and I put it right on my crotch, and she's just like, starts rubbing me and stuff like that, so I know she didn't pull her hand away, so I know that she's good to go. So unfortunately, logistics, she had to be up really early in the morning, and it was already two in the morning, so it kind of hindered me in the long run, but I still, you know, we were making out and whatnot, and, you know, I got her hand on my crotch, and next thing I know, she, like, unzipped my pants and, you know, pulled my junk out, and we started messing around a little bit more, and the next day, I'm talking to her, and she goes, "I cannot believe you whipped it out on a first date." That's just kind of like, well, you know, sometimes you just have to go outside your comfort zone, and I felt like it was definitely needed. And she's like, "Hands down, you are probably the best person I've been with in like the longest time." She's like, "I cannot believe you did that." She's like, "I am so impressed by that." And, of course, the next day when we hung out, which was, I think it was Tuesday or, yeah, it was Tuesday, we, you know, we went and had, like, a drink or two, and then she's just like, "Okay, you can come over to my house, but we're just going to cuddle. We're not going to have sex." And in my head, I was just like, "Yeah, right?" So I go over there. The first thing, straight through the door, we just start making out, and, you know, I pick her up, and I just take her back to her bedroom. I was, like, asking her for directions. I was like, "Where's your bedroom?" She's like, "It's over here." So I'm giving her like a little front style piggyback ride. You know, you just pick her up by her legs and she grabs you around the neck and just kind of throw her in there. She has an amazing bedroom, by the way.
Yeah? What's amazing about it?
There's mirrors everywhere. And I'm a little narcissistic, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like seeing myself every so often. Not all the time, but, you know.
Nice. I actually jerk off to myself in the mirror. So I know what you're talking about.
So, but that was one of my successes over the last couple of days. I'm probably going to see her tomorrow. And there was another girl that I met last night that I almost pulled a three-way with, her and a different girl. They are kind of old friends of mine. And one girl is married, so I was kind of like, don't know if I really want to, but as soon as I walked through the door, she, like, jumped on top of me, like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe you're here." And, you know, she literally started crying while I was standing there, like, "I cannot believe you're here." And, like, I'm pretty sure I saw a tear drop. And then the other girl's like, "Oh, my God, you're embarrassing me." So we started rubbing, touching, squeezing while we're sitting there at the bar. And we go back to the one girl's house, and they're both, you know, they've been drinking, like, all day. So I'm like, all right, well, I think I might be able to make this happen, but I don't know the married girl if I really want to do that. So I was about to whip it out, and she's like, "I'm probably going to go home." I was like, "Oh, fuck." You know, I was got to that point where sometimes you just got to whip it out and be like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, I probably whip it out on, like, 90% of my sets. And I know that, like, a lot of guys are probably like, "Holy shit, that's crazy." But, like, that's my main way of escalating. Like, I get myself hot and bothered, and I get her hot and bothered, and then I just whip my cock out and put her hand on it and go feel that. You know, feel how hard that is, or feel how warm that is. And sometimes I'll use both. That's what I used on Friday. You know, and, like, it's just really good. And I know when I first learned that a couple years ago, you know, I was thinking to myself, "Wow, this is fucking crazy. I'm really just going to pull my erect penis out, like, seriously." But, you know, at that time I was having problems with some escalation with women. And, you know, I had this really bizarre belief system. I don't know if it was, like, from Hollywood or whatever, but it was like, you know, first she has to, I have to take my top off, and then I have to take her top off. And then she has to take my pants off, and then I have to take her pants off. It was like this bizarre order that, like, sexual acts had to occur in, or sexual escalation. It really made no sense whatsoever. And it would trip me up, because before a game, I would try and, like, take a girl's, like, top off, and she was like, "No." Right? So, and I can't force a girl, like, you know, I can't force a girl to do something that she doesn't want to do. You know, I can't escalate on a girl if she doesn't want it, but I can certainly escalate on myself. And so that was a big breakthrough. So I would just escalate on myself. I would just take my own shirt off. I would just take my own cock out and be like, "Hey, feel how hard that is, or look at it. Look what you're doing to me right now." And, you know, from there, the success rate just skyrocketed, you know, take my cock out, have a girl look at it, and be like, look how hard that is. Like, that's what you're doing to me. And then she'd be like, oh my God. And I'd be like, feel how warm it is. And I'll put her hand on it, and then she'll start, you know, jerking it off. And then normally, you know, she'll start sucking it or something like that. And then from there, it sort of goes from there. So,
exactly.
That's something that I do, and I don't know. It sounds crazy to a lot of people, but just try it. Like, it works. It does work. So
that's my successes for the last couple days. I'm probably going to have some more stories tomorrow going out with her tomorrow. We're going to go do some karaoke and whatnot. And not going to lie, I'm a decent singer. There won't be one dry crotch in the house.
Nice. So you saw her Monday, Tuesday, and now Thursday. Now, a lot of guys would say that's a pretty quick timeline. That's on track for, like, a LTR type thing, or do you disagree, or what?
Well, I would agree with that. She's actually, like, really awesome person, and I guess it took me a minute to really... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. You know, sometimes I listen to them when they talk, but sometimes I just don't listen to them because I'm just like, you know, I just want to escalate to sex and stuff like that. And this girl, she actually struck a couple chords with me because I met her online and, you know, we were sending emails back and forth. It only took me like 3 or 4 to get her phone number, which I'm trying to get it down to about 2 or 3. But she is, like, really good-looking. She's really smart. She's demon in the bedroom, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And she's got the right mentality that I think that I have set up for her, you know, with me being, you know, sexual and stuff like that. And she's like, she actually sent me a message saying, I'm glad you are as perverted as I am. And I started to laugh, like, my ass off for probably about 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, it's been pretty good so far. As far as long-term goes, I mean, I could see myself with her, but, you know, I find one of the hardest things for me to do is shut off the same night lay stuff when I go out. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to do. I haven't been in a long-term relationship in a while just because I've been, you know, using the SNL stuff, but... I mean, I could see it with her. You know, it's only been a couple of days, so I told myself, you know, don't rush anything. Just let's see what happens, because who knows, she could be a serial killer, and, you know, I wake up with no kidneys one day, and bathtub full of ice.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those serial killers.
Yeah. You'd be like Dexter over there.
Yeah, good stuff. That's good.
You... want to talk about some other stuff that you've experienced this week, Erock?
That's really it. Just the lessons I took were really just an issue of warming up, and also just the ups and downs, as I've talked about in the past. I think the best way I've heard it described is you really need to see this, so it's not ideal over audio, but if you could imagine a line that it goes up, but it's sort of a mess of a squiggle. Like, it goes down, goes up, goes sideways, all around, all up, down, sideways, but then at the end, it's an arrow, the end of the line is an arrow pointing upwards, which is how I've heard guys describe this journey. So you start off, you go, you know, you think you're going up, you feel like you're improving, then you maybe level, you feel like you've leveled off, you feel like you're regressing, but at the end, if you stick with it, you get better, which is the arrow going up at the end of the line. So that's just something that I've felt I can relate to lately, and a lot more guys should know that maybe than do.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's certainly not linear, and I found that very few things in life are linear. They're either cyclical or they're just some shape that is not a line, I guess. Use stupid terminology. It's not it's not straightforward, you know, and it's something that you have to put in the work to do, and you have to put in the time to see it, and it sometimes progress doesn't always look like progress, and that's important to understand too, especially if you're in the throes of the seduction game, if you're going out every night and coming back and writing field reports and doing the things that you have to do to take your game to the next level. It may not seem like a lot is happening, but then all of a sudden there's a click and things just shoot up to a whole new level, a whole new paradigm, and you may not be able to directly attribute that to the night before or the week before. You can't quite put your finger on it, but it's this sort of amalgamation of all these experiences and emotions that you have surrounding your own game, and also maybe some reading and some learning that you're doing from other people. And it's hard to figure out exactly what it is, but if you keep doing it, you'll just have these jumps. And there's really no other way to describe it other than that, because of its very nature. Doing things like taking a boot camp or taking a program with an instructor will certainly set you on the right course and certainly put you in the right direction. But even so, you're still going to have to go through this stuff. I mean, no one's going to be able to give you, like, you know, your life on a silver platter. Like, I tell people, like, I can't live your life for you. Like, you know, like, I mean, I can, but then I'm just going to fuck your girl for you. You know, it's just like, you have to, you know, you have to live your own life, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So I'll talk about one experience that I had before we wrap up here. And this will be a little bit of a shorter show, which is good. A lot of the shows went a little bit long. So, let's see. I'm not going to talk about the poll on Wednesday. So last week we recorded the Nick Rogue interview, and I used some of his tools to actually inform my pickup. Now, with this particular girl, I had already polled her on the way back. On the way back in the car, I found out that she has a roommate, all this other stuff, and I used that to my advantage. So that was on Wednesday. I'm not going to go into detail about that poll, because it's a really, really long and drawn-out poll. It'll probably take me like 20, 30 minutes just to paint the proper picture for you. And I'm not going to go into that here, but what I will talk about is the poll I had on Friday. So Friday, I'm at one of my favorite karaoke bars in Atlanta, and just having a jolly old time. And I go up to this group of girls, and I guess this guy, and I put my arms around the girls, and I say, hey guys, I'm going to go on stage in the next song. You have to cheer for me. And they go, okay, cool. So I go on stage, I sing my song, I sang Buddy Holly by Weezer, and so that was fun. Did that, came off the stage, I jumped down off the stage, and they're all like screaming and cheering, they're like, woo! I give them all like high fives, and everyone's giving me high fives, so I was like, sweet. So I do that. Then that girl, one of the girls in the set, just pulls me aside, and she starts talking to me, and she's like, oh, you did such a great job, whatever, whatever. And I was like, cool. So I started talking to her a little bit. And then this is more of an example of, like, understanding when, like, you have opportunities. Like I told you guys earlier in the podcast, I view everything as an opportunity. So she puts her hands on my face, like one of her hands on my face while she's talking to me. I'm like, okay, this girl wants to have sex with me. Like, that's it. I know it. So I was like, okay. And so she's putting her in the face, and she starts talking to me. She's asking me, like, oh, what my name is, what do I do, where I'm from. These are all, like, the IOI questions that you get when you have attraction. So I was like, okay, boom, attraction done. Like, attraction done. So I answer the questions, you know. My name is Josh. I'm from New York. And, you know, for my day job, I do psychology. So I talk to her about that. Well, it turns out that she's from New York, and she does psychology as well. So that's just, like, really easy. So, like, qualification is pretty much almost done. So now it's, like, almost, like, time to pull. And I throw a few things in there. I actually asked her at one point, let me ask you a question. Why are you so attracted to me? Which is a frame that I've been toying around with. It's pretty ballsy, but it's a frame that I've been toying around with using in set. And she actually qualifies to it. She's like, oh, it's because of your jacket. I was wearing a sports coat. I was like, okay, well, because women will rationalize any reason why they like you, really, after the fact. That is totally a conscious reason for an unconscious process that they're probably not even aware of. So, which is fine. It's almost okay. I accept that. Fine. So then I started going into some of the questions that Nick asked, because I was like, okay, I'm going to SNL this girl tonight. So I was like, who'd you hear with? And she was like, oh, just some people from my work and some other people. I was like, okay, cool. So that's a good sign. Typically, it's pretty easy to pull people away from their coworkers, at least easier than their friends, because their coworkers don't have that same sort of emotional impetus where they can call the girl a slut for leaving. They just can't. It's just really outside of social norms. So it's a little bit easier to get her away. And I don't want to say less judgment, because if they find that at work, there's still going to be judgment, but there's a way of doing it tactfully that's a little bit harder, because people who are friends tend to be attached at the hip more. So anyway, so I'm like, okay, that's good. And so I was like, where do you live? And she was like, oh, like half an hour away. And I was like, fuck. I was like, okay, whatever, I'll drive. So then I asked, what's on the agenda for later? And she was like, I have to drop all my friends home, so I drove them. And she's like, then I'm going to go to sleep. And I was like, cool. I was like, hey, we're actually going to hang out. And she was like, how? And she's like, I have to drive my friends home and whatever. I was like, look, it's like, I'm a discreet person. I respect your privacy. It's like, I respect your situation. I'm not going to get you in trouble. What we're going to do is you're going to give me your phone number now. You're also going to give me your address. You're going to leave with your friends now, and I'm going to leave in 10 minutes. And then after you drop your friends off, we're going to meet up. We're going to hang out for like an hour. I got to wake up early, so nothing too crazy is going to happen. Then I'm going to, then we're going to part ways. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, well, she's like, I have to tell you something. She's like, I don't live in like a regular place. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, I live in a cabin in the woods. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah. She's like, I live in a cabin in the woods. I was like, what are you, like, some sort of, like, what do you do? And she's like, oh, she's like, well, remember I told you I do psychology. She's like, I work and live at a live-in psychiatric facility for troubled people. It's like, we have a whole, like, compound, like, in the middle of the woods. There's all these activity centers, like a lake and stuff. She's like, and I live in, like, staff housing. And I was like, okay. And she's like, I'm not allowed to bring anybody back. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. Like, it'll sneak me in. And she's like, no, I really, like, I don't know. And I was like, no, trust me. I'm like, look, trust me, it's going to be fine. Whatever. So I sort of make her feel better about that. And, yeah, hop in my car. So I go to the bathroom, whatever, you know, take a piss. Come back out, and I see a girl, and I immediately go up to her and open her. This is right after I proceeded to pull this other girl. So I open this girl, I talk to her, and I do the classic Josh Maverick trying to get her number in 30 seconds because I'm about to leave, which somehow turns into a set. So this other girl, I bring her upstairs, we're talking, whatever. I ring game on her. I'm not going to go into that subset here. End up getting her number, talking to her all week, and have a date with her tomorrow. Okay, different story. Back to the original story. So I get this other girl's number, but that set took like 30 minutes, so I'm like, fuck. So I get in my car, and I just leave. And at this point, I haven't communicated to the first girl at all. So I send her a text saying, like, hope you're still up on my way, or something. No response. So I send her another text, no response. Then I call her, she doesn't pick up. And so I'm like, fuck, man, like, I really don't care if I get this pull or not, but if I drive, like, half an hour, it's not only is it half an hour away from the bar, but it's a half an hour in the opposite direction of where I have to go, which is already 45 minutes away. I have to go 45 minutes south, this is half an hour west. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to drive there if she's just not going to pick up, because like, this is very likely that she may just not pick up. But I was like, you know what, fuck it, no gamble, no future. I get in my car, and the address she gave me was, like, misspelled, So I was able to type in the address into, like, Google on my phone and type in, like, psychiatric and find the facility address. But it was, like, a letter off, or I had misspelled it or something because it was loud. It was such a disaster. So I get in my car. I put it in my GPS. I start driving I-20 West. And on the way there, I called E-Rock, and I was like, wow, I'm actually going to try and meet this girl up. I told him the whole story. He's, like, laughing. I was like, yeah, we'll see. It's like, I want to close this girl. So while I'm driving, I get a phone call from her. And she's like, oh, hey. She's like, I just got home. She's like, I'm waiting. I was like, sweet. So that's on. Somehow, when I'm talking to Eric, my phone GPS that I'm using on my shitty-ass T-Mobile phone, the G2X that I spent like hundreds of dollars on and pay more than $100 a month, somehow it doesn't tell me that it stopped navigating and that I've lost satellite reception. So I'm driving, and I'm just talking to E-Rock, and like, I'm like, man, this is pretty far. And, you know, I end up basically, long story short, almost getting to Alabama before realizing, hey, I'm going the wrong way. And I have E-Rock, he's still on the phone with me, and he's home. And I have him, you know, he offers to go on, like, Google Maps, and, like, he gives me basically directions from the road to get back to this girl's place. Now, I'm at this point, I fear she might be, like, asleep. So I, because she's just, like, what, going to sit in her bed for me and, like, waiting, but then she's going to fall asleep at some point. And she has work, by the way, this girl has work at 8 in the morning. So it's kind of crazy. So I hit her up, and I'm like, oh, man, I made a wrong turn. I'll be there in, like, 10 minutes or something like that. And then, like, 15 minutes goes by. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in, like, 5 minutes. I basically keep saying I'll be there in 5 minutes over text. At one point, she wants to meet me at a supermarket down the street from the facility, not at the facility because I'm not allowed to be there. So long story short, I get there, like, an hour late, and I have this girl sitting in her car under a blanket for, like, an hour in the parking lot of a supermarket waiting for me. On the way there, I stopped by a gas station, and I bought some 22s, a Bud Light Lime. So I show up, I park my car, finally, show up, give her a kiss. I sit down, I immediately start making out with her. I bring the 22s in, and I say, let's go. And she's like, what? And I was like, let's go. And she's like, I'm really not supposed to be doing this. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine, though. And she's like, you keep saying it'll be fine. She's like, this is like, I don't know if it's going to be fine. I'm like, yeah, you don't, but I do. It'll be fine. So, and I was like, it's like, man, this is so cool. Like, we're being so scandalous. We're being so, you know, crazy adventurous. She's like, oh, my God. So anyway, so we drive into the psychiatric facility. It seriously looks like Pilgrim Mental State Hospital back in New York. It's like woods everywhere. It's winding roads. It's like little, at one point the road turned into like a gravel road in like the woods. And I'm like, I don't have my car. I left my car at the supermarket. I had my phone, but I was like, if this girl tries to like kill me, like literally, or anything happens, I don't even know how I'm going to, I get lost in these woods and like die. So it was really weird. It was like the Blair Witch Project or something like that. So we're driving, whatever, she parks her car. We end up going like a quarter mile on this trail in the middle of the night into this cabin that has heat, thank God, and a loft and two beds and her stereo, whatever. No bathroom. So I go outside, take a piss. We go inside. And then, you know, from there, we drink the 22s, we goof around, she puts on some music. I, like, slow dance with her a little bit to the music, which is totally, like, you can't even slow dance to, but I just goof around, I'm being playful. I qualify her a little bit to make her feel good about some stuff. We talk a little bit, and then I just throw her on her bed, and from there it happens. But, yeah, that was just fucking bizarre, man. Fucking cabin in the middle of the psychiatric facility. So that's my story about the crazy, weird psychiatric facility poll. And yeah, so a couple polls last week, and I have a couple dates this week, tonight and tomorrow. So I'll let you know how those go in the next All Cast show. I'm on a little bit of a roll here, so feeling pretty good about it.
And I'll also let you know, on Sunday I communicated with 7 girls, got 6 responses and 3 dates from that. So if you guys want to know more about how to get girls to respond to you on the phone, through text or phone, and set up dates and actually make these numbers convert that you actually get, because these are all numbers I got in the last week or so, then tune in for the next show on that. So yeah, that's my story. So we're running up on time here, so I'm going to sign off here. So I'm Josh Maverick on behalf of AirtightGame.com and of Big Win from the Techno Students Group and E-Rock from the Long Island Lair. We're signing off here saying bye.
Bye, guys. Enjoy.
See you guys.